إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, we'll continue the sharh of the book Ar-Risala by Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani rahimahullah ta'ala. Still on Sunan al-Fiqh. The Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala says, والخفان للرجال سنة والخفاض للنساء مكرمة وأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تعفى اللحية وتوفر ولا تقص قال مالك ولا باس بالأخذ من طولها إذا طالت كثيرا وقاله غير واحد من الصحابة والتابعين. Last week we talked about the clipping of the fingernails. Likewise the clipping of the hair of the armpit or shaving it, shaving or picking the hair off, the picking of the pubic hair. All these they are part of the Sunan al-Fitra. And the Shaykh says, وَلَا بَاسَ بِحِلَاتِ غَيْرِهَا مِنْ شَعْرِ الْجَسَدِ. There is nothing wrong in shaving other than this in sha'r al-jasad from the hair on the body. When we look at the hair that we have on our body, we have the ones that the Sharia asks us to cut or to pluck, like the pubic hair, like that of the armpit. These ones we are asked by the Sharia to pluck them. Likewise, there are hair that the Sharia asks us not to pluck or not to cut, like the beard, as we explained last week, that the Sharia also us not to shave the beard. And this hair is part of our body, it's on our body. So it is fitra that you don't shave the beard. It is fitra that you shave or you pluck the pubic hair, the hair of the armpit, it is pita. Then we have the hair that the Sharia is silent about. What is the ruling of those hairs? Are we to shave them if you like, or if you want to keep them, you can keep them. Some of the scholars have argued that apart from this one that are smelling in Fitra, the hairs on our body, if we like, we can shave them, and if you like, you can keep them. This is a statement of a lot of scholars. They said because there is no any text that says don't shave them. And there is no text that says what? Shave them. In the case of beards, we have evidence. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Arkulliha, or wasiruliha, or awkulliha. We have this evidence telling us not to shave our beards. And we have the evidences telling us نَفْهُ الْعَانَ أَوْ حَلْكُ الْعَانَ نَفْهُ الْإِبِتْ. Shaving the pubic hair or plucking it. Likewise, the shaving of the armpit. We have evidence asking us to do this. We have evidence asking us to do not to do this. But the one the Sharia is silent about, some scholars have the opinion that if you like to shave, if you like to don't shave. Somebody who doesn't like hair on his chest, can he shave them? Can he shave the hair on his chest? So according to some scholars, yes, he can do that. However, some scholars are of the opinion that this is not permissible. The basis is that you should not do tazir khalqillah. Do not change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah created you to have air on your body. So when you decide to shave the air, who has asked you to shave the air? Who has asked you to shave the air? In the case of the air on your edge, you have what? Permissibility to shave, and you have the permissibility to also what? To keep. مَنْ كَانَ لَهُ شَعْرٌ فَلْيُكْرِمُهُ. So they said this, we have what? Text for it. But other hairs that grow on your body, like the one that grows on your chest, the one that grows on your lap, your knees, like that, your shank or so, this one, can you shave them? Some said, yes, you can shave. Some said, you can't shave. Among the scholars, they said, it's not permissible for you to shave this hair. Is a Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, we have the evidence that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited the shaving of the eyebrow, which they call nams. So nams is for you to remove the eyebrow. That is nams. And it covers more than that. Removing the hair on your body can be called nams. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has called the namisat and the mutanamisat. Those who practice shaving the eyebrow, or those who allow themselves, who allow their eyebrows to be shaved. So the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala says, this also covers other hairs that grow on your body. Because names in the Arabic language cover more than the eyebrow. Likewise, the Sheikh says, this is part of what? Tazhiru khalqillah, changing the creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Shaitan says, wala amurannaw fala yubasikunna fala amurannaw fala yugayirunna خلق الله. I will order them and they will change خلق الله, the creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Sheikh says here that wala basa bi wala basa, when the Sheikh says wala basa bi hilaq ghayriha, there is no sin if the shave other than this one's min sha'r al-jasad, from the sha'r al-jasad, the air of the body. So this shave tilts towards the position of those who say it is permissible to do that. As I said, some scholars are against this. It continues, وَالْخِتَانُ لِلْرِجَالِ سُنَّةِ. Circumcision for the men is sunnah. Circumcision for the men is sunnah. Is it mustahabba or wajiba? Now, according to Imam Shafi'i, this is what wajib. And according to the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says the one who is not circumcised, Allah will not accept his salah and his hajj. This is with respect to the males. So this statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu corroborates the position of Ash-Shafi'i. Now, a lot of the scholars of other madhhab, they are of the opinion that it is also compulsory in the case of the male. It is compulsory to do circumcision, not just sunnah that is not compulsory. It is sunnah that is also compulsory, according to the view of a lot of scholars. In fact, according to majority of the scholars, only that in each madhab we have a view that says it is not compulsory. But when we go by what Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu has said, we tend to take the view that says it is compulsory to do this circumcision. Part of the argument that the Hanabila, the brought as Ibn Qudama established in his book Al-Mughni, is that when you are trying to do the circumcision, you will expose the nakedness of a person. So exposing the nakedness is something that is haram. If not that what you are going to do is something that is not compulsory, so it would not have been allowed for you to watch, to expose the nakedness of another person. So this buttresses the argument that it is wajib. So al-khitan lil-rijal sunnah. He said it is sunnah. والخفار للنساء مكروه. الخفاج circumcision, the same thing. ختان circumcision, خفاج. But they use خفاج for the females most of the time. والخفار للنساء مكروه. And doing خفاج for the women is مكروه. It's something that is honorable. Meaning it is not compulsory. Meaning it's not compulsory. So if the Sheikh says it is sunnah with respect to the males, then with respect to the females, it will what? Compulsory. This statement of the Sheikh was based on the hadith which was reported by Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, that al-khitan is sunnatun lil-rijal wa makrumatun lil-nisa. Circumcision is sunnah for the males, and it is what? It is makruma. It is something of honor. Let me start for the women. But this hadith is said to be da'if. The hadith is da'if. So what the Sheikh based his argument upon or his position upon is not authentic. It's not authentic. And that is why Al-Imam Shafi'i rahmahullah ta'ala is of the opinion that circumcision is also compulsory on the women, not on the men only. It's compulsory on the women. Why? Because we have the general text that says what? We should do khitan. The general text of what? Khitan, that it is part of the fitrah. And there is not any authentic text that says it is not compulsory on the women. So this text that says it is makruh al-nifaq, the text is said to be not to be authentic. A text not to be authentic. So how are we going to say it is something that is recommended for the women, not obligatory, since we do not have any text that distinguishes between the women and the men? Now there is a report from that Imam Abu Dawood recorded in his book that there was a woman that would practice circumcision. She would circumcise the females in Medina. Some said her name is Ummu Atiyah. That Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her one day, Ashimmi wala tunhiki, cut it, but do not cut it deep. فَإِنَّهُ أَحْضَى لِلزَّوْجِ وَأَنْضَرُ لِلْوَجْهِ. Because this is something that is better for the husband, and it makes the face look more attractive. This hadith, some scholars, they have a comment on it, but the hadith is said to be authentic by a lot of scholars, authenticated by Al-Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. So from this hadith, one will understand that it is sunnah not to cut it deep. It is sunnah not to cut it deep. And that's why the clitoris of the woman or the girl that is being cut should not be deep. Because if it is cut deep or it is removed completely, this will make the woman lose the sexual urge and taste, and which will not be okay. And if it is allowed to remain the way it is, the sexual urge will be too much. So it has to be regulated. And that is why a woman that has, or a girl that has, the long clitoris, so to say, in this case, it will be advised by the coach. But if it is not much already, so cutting it may not be necessary. And this may differ from one environment to the other. But cutting it is something that is recommended. Whether mustahab or wajib. Mustahab according to majority of the scholars, wajib according to Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. But the position today that you have people who are kicking against it. This is not born out of anything except the attempt to spread dinner in the world. To say if you practice circumcision on the girl, this is female genital mutilation. Those who are campaigning against this seriously are not campaigning against a man who wants to have vagina or a woman who wants to have male organ. This is something that they practice in the West. A woman may decide that she wants to have a male organ, and she will be operated upon, and something like this will be done for her, and vice versa. So they do not campaign against this, despite the fact that this is being practiced. The operations are being carried out, and attempts they show them on the TV. That people will be watching how the operation is being carried out. The WHO does not have anything against it. They are not campaigning against it. But things that are already established in the team, things that are already established in the cultures of different people, this is what they want to go against. And they will be telling you that people, they have freedom. They have what? Freedom. If this is the culture of a people, why not leave them with their culture? Why campaigning against it if truly you believe in what? In freedom. So anything that they do not want, they campaign seriously against it. And anything they want, they campaign seriously in its favor. But those who are not well grounded in the knowledge, they follow them. As they are moving, they are also moving together with them. As Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "La tattabi'u nasanana man kana qablakum shibran li shibrin." You shall follow the way of those who are before you, shibran li shibrin, inch by inch, وَزِرَاعًا بِزِرَاعًا حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا جُحْرَ ضَبٍ لَدَخَلْتُمُوهُ. So in essence, that if they were to enter the hole of the lizard, you shall enter with them. So this inferiority complex, you as a Muslim, throw it away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored you. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون. So Allah honored you as Muslims. Do not relegate yourself. Do not downgrade yourself by following the standard of those who are not on the path. No scholar in the past has said that female circumcision is female genital mutilation. No scholar has said this in the past. So they are all between wajib, mustahab. Wajib, mustahab. This is what they have been saying. But for somebody to come out speaking on behalf of Islam, speaking on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say this is haram, this is female genital mutilation, this is what al-qawlu ala Allah bi ghayri ilm, speaking or ascribing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge what is baseless. If a lady is circumcised, does that affect her? The Sharia said what? Ashimni wala tunhiki. Do not cut it so much. The Sharia has done everything. So if I thought there should be any attack, it should be on those who are what? Cutting it severely. Not those who are cutting it. But because some people want women to be promiscuous, they want them to be so sexy to the extent that they will not be thinking about anything in their life except sex, sex, sex. So that's why they are campaigning against this seriously. Why there are so many things that they ought to campaign against, but they refuse to campaign against it. There is this gayness of a sin, homosexuality, lesbianism. They are not campaigning against it. In fact, they are threatening those whose culture is against lesbianism, homosexuality, saying that if they do not allow it in their country, they are going to withdraw the economic grants that they give to them. And you say people have what? They have freedom. And you say what? Democracy is what the people want. The people of the country, they say, okay, we do not want homosexuality. Then you say, no, you must allow homosexuality. And you say they have what? They have a say. What the people want is what to perceive. And the people say you don't want homosexuality. And you are threatening people, you are campaigning against them. Wallah, we have to use our senses. The Muslims have been taken for granted. And when you think well, you don't need to fight people. But all you need to do is for you to stick to the book of Allah, to stick to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Sheikh says it is makruh, meaning it's not compulsory. But the Sheikh has not said what? It is haram. The way some people are saying today. وَأَمَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنْ تُعُفَ اللِّحِيَا Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amara, he commanded أَنْ تُعُفَ اللِّحِيَا that the beard should be scared. We talked about this last week. A'afa is to exempt something from cutting. And tu'fa al-lihya, he has instructed, commanded that the beard should be speared. The Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala continues, watuwaffara, he should be made plentiful. Wala tuqassa, it should not be cut. It should not be cut. Not to talk of what? Huh? Shape. It should not be cut. Not to talk of what? Shape. Cut. That is, cut it to the extent that what? To the extent that your cheek or so can be seen. This is what is called cut. When you cut it to the extent that what? Your sheikh can be seen. This is what is called qasr. When they say lihya, lihya is the beard that grows, the beard that grows, or the beard that grow on the sheikh and the chin, the sheikh and the chin. So that is lihya. So the beard that grows here and what? And here, this is called lihya. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that what? And tu'fa lihya, that the beard should be pH. What was far? It should be made to the what? Mush. Wala tuqas. It should not be cut. You know, we mentioned last week the hadith that Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala reported. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kharaja ala mashyaqatin min al-ansar bidin lihawun. He came out to see some mashyaqa, that is some leader of the ansar, bidin lihawun, whose beards are what? Are white. Now, where I'm going is that in that hadith, it was said that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was told that in the halal kitab, the people of the scripture, يَقُصُّونَ لِيْحَاهُمْ وَيُوَفِّرُونَ يَقُصُّونَ عَصَانِينَهُمْ, they would cut their asanin, their beards, وَيُوَفِّرُونَ سِبَالَهُمْ, and they would make their mustaches to be what? To be plentiful. The Messenger of Allah said what? He said, Wasfiru asaninakum, make your own beards to be plentiful. Wakusu sibalakum, and cut your sibal, your mustaches. So we talked about the cutting of the mustaches last week, that is, you cut it in such a way that what? The flesh or the skin of the upper lip can be seen. Huh? So this is called what? Qasr. So Messenger of Allah ordered them, wafiru asaninakum, make your asanin, your beards be plentiful. Wakusu sibalakum. Wakusu sibalakum.
سمعتم يقول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said خالفوا المشركين وفروا لها. Way away from the path of the mushrikun. وفروا لها. Let your gears be plentiful. Let your gears be plentiful. وفروا لها. وأحفوا الشوارب. وأحفوا الشوارب. And your شوارب أحفوا. That is, cut it. Cut your شوارب, your mustache. So it is from this hadith that the scholars, they have the consensus, the scholars of the past. When we talk about the deen of Islam, you'll be quoting what? The Salaf al-Salih, with respect to fiqh, with respect to what? Aqidah, manhaj. It is what? You take your deen from the Salaf al-Salih. If a Khalafi, a later scholar comes and says something contrary to what the Salaf al-Salih have said as far as religion is concerned, it is rejected. And that is what makes you a Salafi. You say what? You are a Salafi because you are following the Salaf al-Salih in your acts of worship. Both fiqh and what? And aqidah. And that's why you see people coming up with what? Funny, funny things in the recent times. The Salaf al-Salih, they have consensus on the issue of what? Of lihya. To the extent that the one who shaves his beard, they liken into to a woman. And the shahada of such a person is rejected. This is the way the Salaf will treat such a person. Look at Imam al-Malik who twisted towards the issue of a mustache. He said what? Hara and yuja adorban. Such a person should be what? Should be king. For shaving is what? It's mustache completely. Despite the fact that what? There are some scholars among the Salaf who have the opinion that what? The mustache can be changed. Not to talk of things, something that what the Salaf themselves, they have what? Consensus upon. Like the issue of what? Of al-lihya. So when people like Al-Qardawi, Abdullah al-Judai and others, when they came up with what? With the shaving of the beard. The scholars, they resisted them seriously. Now, are we to take to the position of Al-Qardawi and Abdullah al-Judai, or we are to take to the position of the Salaf al-Salih, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions? Those people who have taken this position in the recent time, they took it because of what? Western influence. The issue of whether lihya is to be kept or not, this is not a controversial issue among the scholars of the past at all. But the problem is that when you see people, when they mix with the kuffar, or they mix with the innovators, the author of the problem of the kuffar and the sufferings of the kuffar and the innovators also spread into them. When you keep the company of the people of sin, you are likely to be affected. You are likely to be seeing something that is ma'ruf, munkaran, or something that is munkar, you are likely to be seeing it as what? Ma'ruf. But what is going to be the standard, the yardstick for knowing what is Islam and what is not Islam? It is what? The Salaf al-Salih. Aqidatan wa fiqhan. In issues of aqidah and in issues of what? Fiqh. We have to stick to what the Salaf al-Salih are upon. Because these are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has vouched for. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين تبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنه ورضوا عنه وعد لهم جنات تجري تحت الأنهار. So the issue of lihya is not a controversial issue at all. So any person that is saying this, tell him, give us your salaf in this. Who are the pious predecessors that took this position of yours? قال مالك ابن أبي زيد القيرواني رحمه الله تعالى said, مالك said, ولا باس بالأخذ من طولها إذا طالت كثيرا. But if the beard
The beard is so long. If the beard is so long, so long, there's nothing wrong in cutting part of it. There's nothing wrong in cutting part of it. This statement of Malik rahimahullah ta'ala is the statement of most scholars of the past. This is the statement and the practice of Abu Uraira, Abdullah ibn Umar, and many other tabi'un as well, apart from the companions. This is their statement and their practices. What Malik said is the same thing that Imam Ahmad said. Almost all the scholars, they took this position, that if the beard is so long, you can cut out of it. Al-Khalal in his book At-Tarajjud quoted some a'far from some of the Salaf al-Salih. Likewise, Al-Imam ibn Abi Shayba rahmahullah ta'ala is musannaf for some of these a'far from some of the companions, that like Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, that whenever he performs Hajj or Umrah, he will cut part of his beard and part of what his hair as well. There's another after that he's not restricted to what? To Hajj. And similar thing is the Sabi from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Likewise, Al-Imam Ahmad said this. Abu Ja'far al-Tabari rahmahullah ta'ala in Ta'dib al-A'far also established this. He brought a lot of a'far from the Salaf al-Salih, that if they have what beard that is long, that what they will cut out of it. What are they going to cut? Some of the Salaf, they are of the opinion that when you hold your beard like this, whatever is left after that, that is the qabd, the kaf, whatever is left can be cut. Imam Malik rahmahullah ta'ala said there is nothing wrong in somebody who has long beard, and maybe one part of the beard is longer than the other. It can cut them to make them what? Smooth. So all these are established of the Salaf al-Salih. Now there is a hadith which was reported by Abu Dawood that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يأخذ من لحيته من طولها وعرضها. Messenger of Allah sallam would take from his beard, from the longness of the beard, the length of his beard, and from the breadth of it. But this hadith is very jiddan. But the practices of the Salaf is on this. And this does not contradict the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallam, wafiru liha. What the hadith says, what? Let it be much. A'afu al-liha. Does not mean what? Don't cut it at all. That is, spare it from what? From shaving it. Or from being cut through. That is, reducing it to the extent that what? The skin will be what? Will be appearing. Now, some of the scholars, they are of the opinion that you shouldn't touch it at all. Not from the breadth or the length. This is the opinion of an-Nawawi. But this opinion is not correct because it contradicts what most of the Salaf al-Salih are upon. Now, among the contemporary scholars like Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, they also take this position that an-Nawawi mentioned. But the qaida is, when you want to take your deen, whatever the Salaf al-Salih are upon, that is enough for you as a deen. If a later scholar comes and says something contrary to what has been established by the Salaf al-Salih, even when you respect the knowledge of that later scholar, you should not hold his view as if what you are treating the view of any of the Salaf al-Salih. This is a very important qaida. If you do not stick to this, you have a very shaky position, so to speak. And you have a position that will be contradicting, that will be self-contradictory. Today you are with the Salaf. You go with the Salaf to attack what? Some of the Khalaf.
and tomorrow you are with the khalaf to go against what? The view of the salaf. This is contradiction. You have to maintain your position. If it has been established that this is what the companions of the Messenger of Allah are upon, and there is nobody among the companions who goes against what the other companions are upon, these are our salaf. Any text you want to understand, the verse of the Quran, the hadith, they will understand that hadith better than you. They understand the verse better than you. Because these are the people who receive the explanation of the Quran from the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you not say, okay, hum rijal wa nanu rijal, they are men and we are men. There is no difference between you and a muftadi. That word that comes later. There's no difference. And that's why when it comes to aqidah and fiqh, you take what the salaf are upon. For you to have something contrary to the what they are upon, you must be able to prove that even among themselves, they have what? Difference of opinion. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book Al-Risala, he talks about calling Sahabis, the statement of the Sahabi. Is it Hujjah or not? The correct view is that call Sahabi Hujjah. ما لم يخالفه قول صحابي آخر أو نص صريح من القرآن والسنة. The statement of the Sahabi is Hujjah because he is the companion of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's Hujjah. Unless if you can bring a statement of another companion that contradicts it. So this is something that is important. So the view of those scholars who say you must not touch the beard at all, that view is incorrect. Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmahullah ta'ala, in Sisla Adis al-Da'if, I think volume 13, talked about this particular issue at length. And when we check at Tamhid of Ibn Abd al-Barr and Al-Istizkari, also discuss it at length. So most scholars of the party discuss it at length. So the view that don't touch it at all, leave it like that, this view is not correct. Al-Imam Malik, rahmahullah ta'ala, Al-Imam Ahmed, and many other scholars, they have the opinion that what you can touch it, because this is buttressed by the practices of the companions and the tabi'un and the atba' tabi'in as well. Some try to say that the practice of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu or Ibn Umar, some will say that their practice was during Hajj. But this was not limited to Hajj. There are some asar from them. As Al-Khalal reported in his book At-Taraju, that do not have anything to do with what with Hajj. Then some will say, okay, that is the statement of a companion. Al-Ibra bima rawa'u al-rawi wa laysa bi ra'yihi. What we are going to take is what the reporter has reported. Abu radiallahu anhu has reported the hadith khaliful mushrikin wa firuliha. So we are going to take his report. But his own ra'yi you are not going to take it. Abdullah bin Umar as what reported the hadith khaliful mushrikin wa firuliha. We are going to take his report. We are not going to take his what? His ra'yi. Now this is a qaida that some of the scholars of usul will use. Al-Ibra bima rawa al-rawi wa laysa bima ra'a aw bi ra'yi. But from another that is in the opposite, there is another qaida. Al-rawi adra bima rawa. The reporter knows better what he has reported. So these are two principles. But you may say these two principles may be correct. This is when a companion or a reporter contradicts clearly what he has reported. But if his practice explains what he has reported, then we will say this is what? This is a contradiction. It explains. Just like when a companion says something, you won't say what it says has gone against what the Messenger of Allah or what the verse of the Quran as such. Take for instance, وَمَا لَمْ يَحْكُمُ مَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَوَلَيْكُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. This is a hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas of Allah Anu that the kufru that is being referred to there is kufrun, duna kufru. And this is what the scholars of the past are upon. Al-Imam al-Tabari, al-Sama'ani, and many others, they reported this, that this kufru is what? Kufrun duna kufru. Then somebody comes out now to say what? وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْكُمْ مَنْزَ اللَّهُ فَوَلَيْكُمْ كَافِرُونَ, wanting to use the umum. We say you are wrong. Why? Because those who sat with the Messenger of Allah, this is the way they interpreted it. They did not understand the kufru there to mean what? Kufrun mukhrijun al-millah. Then who are you that you are going to rely on what you say? So when it comes to tafsir, the tafsir of Salafus Salih, supersedes the tafsir of another person. When it comes to fiqh, the fiqh of Salafus Salih supersedes the fiqh of another person. This is when you have what? When you have a balanced position. And that's why when the Salafus Salih, when they say something, don't just bring up the hadith to knock it. They understand the hadith better than you. You understand the hadith better than you. Because you may be establishing another fiqh, another position that you want followers by your own understanding from that hadith or from that verse. So you are follower and you say, watch, I'm a salaf. Why? Because I'm sticking to text. The Salafus Salih who do not see that in the way you have seen it, are they not following text? They are following text. But what they took from their own teachers is what they have watched. What they have established. So this is something that is very, very important. At times it appears to you as if what? When somebody says so and so, you think that other person is what? Is about the sunnah. It's very... But what he has said, he has contradicted the fear of the Salafus Salih as far as that particular verse is concerned, or as far as that particular hadith is concerned. Now, as I always say, there are some scholars who are what? Who are following the path of the Salafus Salih. They are what? They are defending the path of Salafus Salih, but they make mistake one way or the other. Maybe they do not come across maybe a hadith or some of the asar from some of the companions. Those scholars, you have regard for them because you are sharing the same path. If they have come across those asar, they would have said similar things. But they didn't see some of those asar, or some of those asar, maybe they think some of them are weak. So they hold an opinion that is contrary to the Salafus Salih. But the blunt truth is that following Salafus Salih is not that you follow that scholar that has edge. However great that scholar is, however great, it can be greater than the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the companions. So you just leave what he has said and follow what the five scriptures are upon. This is how you maintain your salafiyah. So this is something that is important. So what the Sheikh has said here, that Qala Malik said, لا باس بالأخذ من طولها, there is nothing wrong in taking from his length. إذا طالت كثيرا, if it is what? Very lengthy. وقاله غير واحد من الصحابة والتابعين. More than one person have said this from among the Sahaba and the Tabi'un. Inshallah, we stop here. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with this and that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka lahum wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka.
Now, there is this question from a sister, from one of our sisters. She needs your advice. There is another question I would have loved to ask. Inshallah, it's not time for me to ask it. Concerning the last part of the lecture of Ustaz. But let's just take it from, because it's personal, and I think it's very important that Ustaz help us talk about it. Said that the person said she's a lady who believes in Allah and His Prophet upon the Quran and the Sunnah as understood by the Salafus Salih. And I said she wears the proper hijab but she commits to it a lot. Clearly, that is, has to do with the private part. And since she has tried for 5 years to get rid of it, but she's been falling into it again. She said she wants this Ramadan, she wants to really use it to be great. She wants the Ramadan to be great for her. But she's been having problems with this issue. So she wants your advice with regards to this.
Alhamdulillah. As-salatu was-salamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. We say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify everyone of us, and may subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook our shortcomings. Now the one who does that, who will say she's not a Muslim or not upon the Sunnah, though she's blameworthy and she's sinful, and this should not be accepted at all. But at the same time, we won't chase such a person away from Islam. We will not chase such a person away from Sunnah. When she said that she committed some evil with the private part, this can mean so many things.
The real one.
Now, in this case, if she's not married, one of the first steps that she should take is that she should look for a way of getting married. If she gets married, this inshallah will be reduced seriously, or it may even disappear. Because it is natural, this sexual urge, people are disturbed more than one another with respect to each. And the one who knows his or her problem and knows the solution that Islam has provided for that should work towards the solution. If she's not married yet, let her get married. And she should not be too demanding. Because the problem a lot of sisters they have these days is that we are demanding. If really you want to protect your honor, you don't want to commit zina, it is good that you do not commit zina, even if the husband is not giving you much with respect to clothing, with respect to eat food, feeding and the like. We have all learned the case of a lady that came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, suggesting herself to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Messenger of Allah said he was not interested, and the man showed interest. A Messenger of Allah married the girl to that man. And the man did not have much. The Messenger of Allah said what? Zawajtukaha bimama'aka min al-Quran. Go and teach her what you have of the Quran. And both of them, they married happily. So if satisfying your sexual urge is a problem, it is good you do it in a halal way, rather than what doing it in a way that one will incur the wrath of Allah, and one will not have any excuse before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So try to get married and try to reduce drastically your demand and your wants with respect to marriage. That is one. If she's married, then that means maybe she's been pushed by some worldly things. Maybe she wants some things that she's not been able to get from the husband, that is why she's been carried away by another man. Or maybe the husband is not satisfying her. If the husband is not satisfying her, then in that case, Islam has all solutions. Let her tell the husband, you are not satisfying me. And if she will see khul'u, she can see khul'u. Because khul'u, that is to demand that the man release us. So, because this is what is not a sin. Committing zina is sin. Or maybe the friends that she's keeping. Some people, they keep bad company. Those who be initiating them to things that, so she should go away from those people.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا من الصالحين. Oh, you believe in Allah and be with the truthful people. Then she should also be prayerful. She should be prayerful. And things that will lead to things like that, like watching all these pornographic things, she should go away from this. Some of us, we spend much time on the Facebook looking at some of these things that have been placed, both the males and the females. So we should avoid all these things. Avoid going to Facebook except if you are going to see something that is what? That is beneficial for you. But for you to look at everything that is up, that is put on the Facebook, this is something that is dangerous. To the extent that you see some brothers, they will be posting things that are evil, saying that they want people to see what. Now when you are posting a woman that is nude, what lesson do you want people to benefit from that? Before they learn anything from it, they would have been what? Carried away, affected, fascinated by the evil of that woman. So let us try to avoid things that will be increasing our sexual urge, particularly in a way that allows for prohibited. Wallahu a'lam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك.